Will you open your Bibles tonight, please, to John chapter 7? John chapter 7 in your Bible tonight. And I'm so happy you're here. I am. I learned long ago you don't get on people that aren't here. It doesn't do any good. But I'm so happy you are here tonight. And thank you taking time out of your life, out of your schedule, to come tonight to the house of God. It's been a blessed day. I just felt close to the Lord today. You've had days like that. You have. I want to tell you something, friend. Right with your pastor, you feel mighty close to the Lord. I'll tell you that right now. The way he drives, buddy, I'll tell you, heaven is imminent all over the place when he drives. But then I had a wonderful meal at the brother's house tonight. Fried turkey. That's no reference to your pastor. That's what we ate, okay? Fried turkey. It was great. Then here we go. Keep this in the back of your mind. For dessert, peanut butter pie. You may not know this. I have special insight. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're having peanut butter pie for dessert. Amen. So you know, that's a good reason to get saved right there, brother. Amen. Peanut butter pie. But hey, I mean this from the heart tonight. Thank you for coming. Really, I mean that. And thank you for your faithfulness. Let me encourage you to pray, to invite them. Listen, don't be ashamed to call some people that aren't here and invite them. Really. And the later you call them, the better. You call them at midnight, they won't forget you called. They won't, you know. So say, hey, you dirty, rotten backslider, missed your revival, then just slam the receiver down, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something. They may not come to revival. They'll never, ever forget that you called them and invited them to revival. But now, really, don't be embarrassed to invite folks that aren't here. Say, I know you forgot. That's not true, but anyway, say it anyway. Know you forgot. Hey, right, come on to God's house. Remember the church. You should be there. Let's make this a great, great week. Look at your Bible. John chapter number 7 tonight. John chapter 7 in your Bible. And I want to begin reading in a minute with verse number 37. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But thus spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Text I read in there refers to the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, one of three feasts so important, every adult male Jew was required to come all the way back to Jerusalem and celebrate that feast. Now, it commemorated something. Remember the time in the wilderness? When they lived in the wilderness there, they'd go down and cut limbs off trees and come back to Jerusalem, cut limbs off trees. It was a great feast, a great time of rejoicing. It was a great time of emotion. One Bible said this, the emotion was all over the place at this feast. Well, now, here's the key. The key day is day number 7. Jesus Christ goes down the pool of Siloam, takes a pitcher of water, comes back, pours it on the altar, brings to remembrance the time when God gave water out of the rock, satisfied the thirst of his people. When that happened, one writer said, the Jews would go, they're just ballistic, jump up and down, clap their feet, clap their hands, holler, glory to God. This is a time of intense religious emotion, but Christ is there. And Christ allows the next day, as the water poured on the altar would be evaporated and gone, that temporary religious fix will be over and done and through. And Christ is so moved, he does two things. Number one, read your Bible, please. First of all, in verse number 37, it says, Jesus stood. Many times when Christ taught, it may shock you, he sat. He sat when he preached sometimes. Sat when he died. Here he's so moved, he jumps to his feet. Number two, Jesus raised his voice. He cried out and said, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Here's what Christ said. I got something better for you than a temporary religious fix. I'll put somebody inside you who brings joy and happiness and power and rejoicing. And that someone, he said, on down there, is the Holy Spirit of God. Let me emphasize something. Every born-again believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Your Bible says, amen, have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. Before Pentecost, Jesus said, he is with you, but he shall be in you. Paul said, what? Know ye not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit come to dwell within you. I like to put it this way. If you're saved tonight, my friend, if you're saved tonight, in a sense, you are a house. Why do I say that? Because somebody lives inside of you. I look on this crowd tonight. I see a number of houses out here. I see some houses. You need to rip on top, that's for sure. Amen, okay? I see some houses have a nice little addition on the front. That's very nice, guys. Perhaps some houses are having plumbing problems. I'm not going there. What I'm saying is this. If you're saved tonight, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. Now, wait. The text I read does not speak of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It speaks of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? Your Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where is it says, but be filled with the Spirit. In your Bible, three times, God makes a comparison, a way of contrast, between a drunken man and a Spirit-filled man. Now, how come? I was a boy growing up, normally, 5 or 6 nights a week, I'd go with Grandpa down to the tavern. And during that time, I realized something. When someone is drunken, a tremendous change occurs. Some great big guy comes in. He gets drunk. Sits at the bar. Weeps in his beer. The skinny guy comes in. He gets drunk. He gets loud. He gets boisterous. Hey, what am I saying? When someone is drunken, they are changed. When a believer is filled with the Holy Spirit, he is changed. Understand that. He gives boldness. He gives power. He gives a great courage. The Spirit-filled life, my friend, can change your life. Look in your Bible again, please. Look down at verse number 38. He that believeth on me, Jesus said, as the Scripture has said. Now, what Scripture? That's in the Old Testament Scripture. Turn your Bible back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. You find an Old Testament prophecy of the New Testament Spirit-filled life. Ezekiel, chapter number 47, please, in your Bible tonight. This Old Testament prophecy of the New Testament Spirit-filled life. Three thoughts tonight in the bright text. Number one, first of all, the mysterious source of the river. Ezekiel 37, look in your Bible at verse 47. Ezekiel chapter 47 tonight, verse number one. Afterward, he brought me again to the door of the house. The house there is the temple. What did Jesus say? What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Read further. And the waters issued out of the threshold of the house eastward. The forefront of the house stood toward the east. Waters came down on the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. In that verse, there's a picture of the New Testament Spirit-filled life. Three things. Number one, first of all, my friend, the mysterious source of the river, it has a humble source. Where's the water flow from? The roof? No. Over the doorstep? No. It flows from under the door. What does that speak of? It speaks, my friend, of humility. You see, to be a Spirit-filled Christian, you must be a humble individual. That saith the high and lofty one, the Bible says, inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place. With him also is a humble and a contrite spirit to revive the heart of the humble and revive the spirit of the contrite one. Four times God said, hey, you want to be a Spirit-filled Christian, you must be a humble individual. What does that mean? When you sin, you don't play the blame game. You don't blame your wife. You don't blame the pastor. You have the spiritual conditions to say, hey, it's my fault. I have sin. First of all, to be a Spirit-filled Christian, you must be a humble individual. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you in due time. A humble individual. Now, what does that mean? That means you don't rationalize. Yeah, we're good at that, aren't we? You don't rationalize. When God speaks to your heart, you don't make excuses. You don't blame somebody else. When God speaks to your heart, what do? You humble yourself and pray and confess your sin. You'll never be a Spirit-filled Christian until you're a humble individual. Number two, you must desire to be a holy individual. Look, please, at the top of the page. Top of the page, you find a man's name. The man's name you find there is the name Ezekiel. Now, why is that so important? In the book of Ezekiel, follow me here carefully, please. 127 times in the book of Ezekiel, God calls Ezekiel by a certain name. He calls him the Son of Man. Now, why is that significant? Luke 19:10. The Bible says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Wait a minute, don't miss it. Who's called the Son of Man there? Jesus Christ. Wow. Ezekiel lived so holy, so godly. God said, I'm not ashamed, I'm not embarrassed, I'm not disgraced. To give my son the same name, Old Testament prophet had. He was a holy man of God. My son is the holy son of God. Wow, what a life Ezekiel must have lived. A holy individual. My friend today, even in fundamental circles, holiness is laughed at, ridiculed, made fun of, thought strange and odd. My friend, hear me, we're to follow Christ. He's our example. And my friend, Christ is the one we should follow. 127 times in Ezekiel, he's called, I repeat that, the Son of Man. You know, for the first time, I went to a wonderful church in Pennsylvania to hold a revival. I arrived in town. I wasn't sure what time Sunday school was. I got there pretty early. I'm in the restroom washing my hands. A man come in and said, hey, Bob, how you doing? Well, I said, I'm doing okay, you know. I come out the door. A woman walked by and said, Bob, you're looking good today. I said, thank you, man. Before I met the pastor, Brother Burgraff, six people had called me Bob. Now, first of all, I never thought with you my mind. I thought maybe I'm from the South, okay? And my name is Joe Bob Mark. That could be. That could be. All right. Then I thought maybe, yeah, you like that, don't you? I thought maybe Pastor advertised me as Bob Mark. Pretty soon, I met Brother Burgraff down with around the pulpit. Brother Mark, he said, how you doing? I said, not good. I'm having an identity crisis. He said, what do you mean? I said, preacher, 7 years, 5 years, 6 years people have called me Bob. He started laughing and said, the guy in the church looks just like you, okay? We're down front talking. He said, turn around. Look at that guy coming down the center aisle. I turned and looked. I could not believe it, ladies and gentlemen. I saw a man coming down the center aisle, kind of a cross between Mr. America and Mr. Universe, the handsomest, best-looking guy I ever saw in my entire life. I said, preacher, don't tell me. I know that is Bob, and I was right. Now, wait, question here. Hear me, okay? Do you ever remind anybody of Jesus Christ? Paul said that Christ may be manifest in my body. Paul said, when they see me by my life, my actions, my reaction, my attitude, I want them to know that Christ is alive and he's living in me. Great Bible example. John the Baptist is preaching, has a great revival, and the Pharisees come out to talk to him. John, are you Moses? No, I'm not. Are you Elijah? No, I'm not. Are you one of the prophets? No, I'm not. Hear it, hear it, hear it. Then they said, John, are you the Christ? Powerful. John lived so holy, so pure, they thought this man could be the coming Messiah. This man should be the Christ. I repeat myself, Bible, that Christ may be manifest in my body. Oh, my friend, to be a spirit-filled Christian, you must desire to live and act and talk like Jesus Christ. Number one, first of all, a humble individual. Number two, a holy individual. Number three, you must desire to be a heated individual. You see him on fire for God. Look at your Bible. Verse 47. After he brought me again under the door of the house, behold, waters issued out under the threshold of the house eastward. Keep that in mind, eastward. Forefront of the house stood toward the east. Why? Why does he mention east twice? The sun rises in the east. Our source of heat comes from the east. My friend, Bible fire comes from the east. It comes from heaven. And we're on fire for God. We witness like we should. Pray like we should. Read our Bible. Holy fire is what the church needs today. Don't be afraid of it. Rejoice in it. Try to get it in your heart. We need spirit-filled Christians on fire for God. The Bible says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's Bible, friend. That's Bible. We're supposed to be on fire for God. Oh, may God put a fire in our heart this week to reach out, do what we've never done before, witnesses we never witnessed before. That will only come, however, some fire what? What happens? Fire spreads. What makes a revival a great revival? A few people get on fire. And it spreads out and spreads out and spreads out. When I get to heaven, one of the first men I want to meet, no one's ever heard of, his name was A.B. Earle. Went to San Francisco to hold a revival about 1890. The first service, 19 people. He preached every night for a month. The last night he preached, 5,000 people. The man had a sermon on the unpardonable sin. You read it, it was scared to death. The last night he preached that sermon, give the invitation, 1,000 people walked down the aisle and got saved. Why? There was a man on fire for God, and fire spreads. If your spirit failed, you want to affect somebody else. You want to affect a family member. You want to affect a co-worker. You want to affect a church member. It's not unnatural. Get this in mind. It's natural for fire to spread. Wherever a Holy Ghost-filled person goes, he spreads the fire of God. Number one, the mysterious source of the river. Number two, the marked course of the river. Now, where does this river flow, which speaks of the filling of the Holy Spirit? Where does it go? What happens? Look in your Bible at verse number 8. Ezekiel 47, verse 8. Where does this river flow, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and what happens? Verse number 8, look at it. This is the enemy. These waters issue out toward the east country and go into the desert and go into the sea. What sea is that? The Dead Sea. What's the Dead Sea? Don't miss it. The lowest point on planet Earth is the Dead Sea. When this water flows there, what happens? Things change. What's the point purpose? The purpose is this. The water flows, I'm going to give you a word, the depressed places. See, the average Christian says, if I become spirit-filled, I'll become miserable, I'll become bored, I'll never laugh again, but you believe the devil's lie. Spirit-filled Christian has an inward happiness. The Bible says it in Ephesians. A spirit-filled Christian, here describes him, speaking to yourself in misery and agony and, but no, hear your Bible, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Thank God, a spirit-filled Christian has an inward happiness. Amen. Again, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And what? They were happy. They weren't complaining. They weren't griping. Man, they had a great spirit. Why? The filling of the Holy Spirit brings happiness and joy unto your heart. And my friend, don't be afraid of it. Get it. Rejoice in it. It'll change your very, very life. The filling of the Holy Ghost. Let me illustrate it for you. 2 years ago, I was flying out of Peoria, Illinois. That's 40 miles from where I live. Okay. I got in the car, kissed my wife and cat goodbye, and drove to Peoria. I got there about 7 o'clock. My flight's at 8. The guy said, where are you going? I said, I was going to out to Colorado. He said, guess what? I said, what? He said, your flight's canceled. He said, instead of flying out at 8 o'clock this morning, you fly out at 7 o'clock tonight. I said, okay. I said, I'll tell you what. I'll go home and let my wife pick me out to breakfast. So I called my wife. I said, I'm coming home. And I went home and took my wife out for breakfast about 2 o'clock. The phone rang. I picked it up. The guy said, this is the airport. I said, yes, sir. He said, the schedule's changed. Your flight's at 3 o'clock. That's 1 hour. Now, friend, you want to hear about the grace of God, all right? Ezekiel was caught in a chariot of fire. From where I live to the airport of Peoria is 49 miles. Ready to hear about this? A miracle? Huh? I drove it in 37 minutes. Isn't God good? Isn't God good, brother? Amen. Amen. And I pull in the airport. I walk in, and the guy said, guess what? I said, don't tell me. He said, the flight's delayed for 30 minutes. I said, okay, no problem. I'm sitting there reading. The guy sitting across from me said, what are you reading? I said, a book on revival. Ever been to revival? He said, yes, I have. I said, come on, let's talk about it. He came over and sat down. And I said, sir, have you ever been saved? He said, I used to be. Oh, you did? I said, yeah. Tell me about it. He said, well, he said, my wife and I got saved. He said, man, we went to church 3 times a week. We went on calling, he said. Then something came in our life, he said, and we kind of got away from God. He said, we're just no longer saved. Just then his wife came out of the restroom and said, honey, you better go because when the plane comes, okay, he got up and left. Before he left, I asked him this question. I said, where are you going? He said, San Francisco. I said, what for? He said, went out there and committed suicide. I said, what? He said, we're going to San Francisco and committed suicide. I said, why? He said, preacher, I graduated at the top of my class. He said, I'm an architect, but I can't find a job here. the headquarters of Caterpillar worldwide. I can't find a job. He said, I can't find a job. He said, would you split? I said, I'm married. She's a nice lady, but we're miserable. We made up our mind. We're going to fly to San Francisco. We sold our house, got some money, get a nice motel, eat a good restaurant. When the money's gone, off the bridge, we're going to commit suicide. And then his wife came and he left. Hey, I said, how you doing? She said, horrible. Where are you going? I said, well, we're going to San Francisco. I said, that's a great city. I've been there. What are you going to do out there? She said, kill ourselves. And you're not joking, you know? She said, we are. She said, preacher, I'm a nurse at a hospital. Everything in this town is cutting back. I lost my job. Husband can't find a job. He said, what we're going to do is go to San Francisco. Told me the same thing. Sold our house. We got some money. Going to get a nice motel. Eat at nice restaurants. When it's all gone, we're getting out of here. We're checking out. We're killing ourselves. Just then, her husband came back and sat down. I said, okay, now, you're saved. He said, I was. I said, ma'am, how about you? She said, oh, yeah, I remember being saved. I said, everyone, there's no past tense salvation. Wake up. How long is eternal? God said, I've given to you eternal life. How long is that? So I never thought about it. I said, you should. It's forever. God said, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God said, once you're saved, you'll never ever see the inside of the gates of hell. I said, somebody's lied to you and it wasn't God. If you're really saved, you can't lose it. I tell you what you do lose, your joy, your happiness, the thrill. I said, because you're not right with God, in your marriage, you're bitter. She said, I both of them started crying. I said, what you guys need to do is not get saved. You need to get right with God. Man, I talked to them a while. They're sitting there weeping. I said, I'll tell you what you ought to do. Go over there in the airport. There's a big vacant space over there. Go over and kneel down and confess your sin and get right with God. And they did. I could see them. They're kneeling in the airport praying. They come back. They're on the flight stepper, on the flight I'm on. They're sitting two seats up on my right. Ready? But I want to tell you something, buddy. Suicide was not in their mind. No, no. They're up there. They're hugging. They're smooching. That's a Greek word for kissing, okay? They're hugging. They're smooching. Hey, you know what? I want to dedicate my life again when I saw that, brother. Amen. That's good stuff. Amen. Listen, the airplane put down, and they got off for it. They're waiting for me. I come up, and I said, you guys have made my day. Preachers hugged me. The guy hugged me and said, man, he said, you've changed our life. No, it was the Holy Spirit that did it. And you get away from God, the Spirit is quenched. He can't make you happy. He can't put a song in your heart. He can't help you rejoice. Why? Because he shut off. The door slammed on him. And you go through life operating in the flesh. Miserable. Grumpy. Gripey. Because the Spirit of God has been quenched. Number one, the more course of the river, it flows to the depressed places. Number two, it flows, I like this, to the desert places. On your Bible again, look at Ezekiel chapter 47, and look at verse number 8. These waters used to go out toward the east country and go down into the desert. What is in a desert? My friend, a desert, there's not much there. It's dry. Question. Hey, question. Is your spiritual life all dried up? The Bible's become sad. Prayer's been abandoned. Your habits come back. When you're no longer spirit-filled, your life becomes a desert. Now, follow the analogy. There's an analogy here. Don't miss it. The filling of the Holy Spirit is referred to as what there? A river! River! Get it! When the Spirit's quenched, the river doesn't flow. And your spiritual life becomes dry. Yep. All dried out. Why? Because the Spirit of God has been quenched. I read a story about a football coach. Had a player that was a pretty good player. And the player, it's college ball. And the player told the coach, he said, coach, someday I want to be a football coach. Coach said, son, come with me. Come on. You come with me, and I'll teach you some things about coaching. They're in a car driving down to scout out some possible candidates to come to their school and play football. And the coach told the young man and said, now some, there are all kinds of football players. There's some football players, you knock them down, hit them hard, they'll just lay there and take an injury and limp off. The boy said, we don't want those. He said, that's right. He said, now son, there are some football players, you knock them down, they'll get up. Hit them hard, they'll get up. Hit them a third time, you get ready to hit them, they'll back off. He said, we don't want those. He said, you're right. Then now son, there are some football players, you knock them down, they get up. You knock them down, they get up. You hit them hard, they get up. Drive them in the dirt, they get up. The boy said, hey, coach, that's the type of guy we want. Coach said, no! We want the guy doing the knocking down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's your Bible say? We are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. Victory over sin comes through what? The filling of the Holy Spirit of God. One more thought. The mysterious source of the river. The marked course of the river. I like number three the best. The mighty force of the river. Look in your Bible. Look in your Bible. Verse 9. It'll come to pass everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come. Remember, the river speaks of the flow of the Holy Ghost. Where the river shall come, shall live. This will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come hither, and they shall be healed. The mighty force of the river. First of all, look what he says there. He talks in verse number 9, everything that liveth and moveth in this river, what would that be? Look at the verse 10. Come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Ingeli unto Inglem. There shall be a place to spread their nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, and the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Now, wait a minute. He's talking about fish. What kind of fish? Carp? I hope not. Amen. What are you talking about? Bass? No. Jesus Christ described what kind of fish.
Yeah, that's right.
He said it. I didn't. He said it. I can't cut it. Jesus said, follow me. And I'll make you. You can't escape it. You can't avoid it. You can't excuse it. You can't lie about it. But Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. What is that? That is soul winning and that is witnessing. Hear me carefully. In the book of Acts, every time with one exception, they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Next thing they did every time with one exception was what? Go out and witness and tell somebody how to be saved. A spirit-filled Christian is a witnessing Christian. The book of Acts, they had nothing. They had no building. They had no money. Peter said, silver and gold have we none. They had no upper echelon people. Their enemies said, are not all these people a bunch of Galileans? A bunch, in Bible times, a Galilean was a hillbilly. They had nothing. No money. No character. But the one thing they had, shock the world, what they have. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and all hell couldn't stop that church.
Amen.
The greatest need of the church today is spirit-filled Christians. I was preaching in Homo Sassa Springs, Florida, and I'm down there Monday morning. I started Sunday. Well, first of all, let me say this. I'm in Florida. 82 degrees. My wife is back in Illinois. 15 below zero. You say, your poor wife. Never say that. Never say that. I'll tell you something, buddy. I know how to take care of a woman. I do. Before I left home, I went down to the gas station. I bought 5 gallons of premium grade gasoline for that snow blower, but don't tell me I don't know how to treat a woman. I do, okay? Now, I'm down there. Beautiful day. Beautiful day. I got the door open to the motel room. I'm typing letters. All of a sudden, I heard a voice. The voice said, hey, blank face, get out of there. I thought, what in the world? I looked around. A little white poodle was in my room just running around, making herself right at home. I looked out, a woman standing in the doorway, blowing cigarette smoke in my room, had on a pair of tight jeans, so not much of a top. And she said, how come your door's open? I wanted to say in Christian love, none of your stinking business. I didn't. I said, ma'am, I'm from Illinois. I'm enjoying your wonderful weather. Thank you for sharing it with me. She said, hey, blank face, come here. She called that cute little dog a filthy, vile, dirty, vulgar, wicked name. The dog went to her, she picked it up and left. Next day, I got the door open again. I'm typing letters to you. Hey, blank face, get out of there. I was hoping the dog was back in my room. There he is, just running around. She was doing, she picked him up, and she looked at me. She said, you're strange. That's what she said. You're strange. What do you do? I said, glory to God. I thought you'd never ask. I said, ma'am, I'm a Baptist evangelist. I'm all over America telling people two things. Number one, Jesus Christ can change your filthy life, your filthy mouth, and your filthy language right here, right now. When you die, he can take you to heaven. If you don't, you'll burn in hell. She said, I'm not about you gone. I'm gone. Thursday night, after the service, Pastor and I and his wife went out to a restaurant. We come back, he dumped me off. Just like I had out after going to the motel, she pulled in. Now, what happened was this. Her and her husband had a mobile home that got flooded out. The insurance company puts them in the hotel. They're in the room right next to me. And as I got out, she pulled in. Hey, I said, how you doing? She said, rotten. She said, can I talk to you? I said, I'd love to talk to you. I said, here's the deal. Get your husband. She said, I don't think he'll come. I said, okay, here's the deal. We're singing an old Holiday Inn. I said, here's the deal. I want you to come. Number one, leave the door open. The whole front's the curtain, glass, this curtain. Well, believe the curtain wide open. I said, I want you to come. She said, we'll see. 45 minutes later, she walked in, plopped down on the couch. Hey, I said, how can I help you? She said, you can't help me. She said, I've been through Alcoholics Anonymous 4 times. On a good day, she said, I drink a pint of gin. Things go bad, I can double that. She said, I can't control my life. She said, look, 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 just like that. I looked. Each wrist. 3 deep, horrible scars. She said, preacher, 3 times I hit bottom. 3 times I took a butcher knife and cut through the skin, through the vein, all the way to the bone. She said, sir, I'm such a failure. I can't even commit suicide. Can anybody help me? I said, I know just the guy can.
Yeah.
I said, I can't help you. I wish I could, but I can't. I tell you who can. Jesus Christ. She said, how? I said, let me show you. I got my Bible, showed her how to get saved. I said, the Bible says any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I said, God will change you from the inside out. He'd give you victory over booze. He'd give you victory over your filthy mouth. I said, but you have to meet it from your heart. Here's what she said. I like what she said. She said, I need him. Thank God she didn't say, I need it. She said, I need him. We prayed, she accepted Christ and left. This morning about 10 o'clock, I'm packing the car. My wife's flying down. Her in-laws live about 30 miles away. They're coming down that night. And I'm going home with them for 3 or 4 days. I'm packing the car. She put in the Jeep. Hey, I said, how you doing? She said, strange. I said, what? She said, I'm doing strange. So I can't believe this preacher. Took my husband to work. I counted him, she said. Driving to work, I drove by 13 liquor stores. Didn't want to stop. Coming home, the same 13 didn't want to stop. She said, preacher, this will be the same stuff. A guy could die of thirst. She said, I had no desire to stop. Then she said this, you know, somehow I discovered I lost my wedding ring. She said, now, preacher, you never believe this, but normally I would have cussed up a storm. I didn't tell her this, but I would have believed that. Amen, I would have. She said, you know what I was doing? I said, what? She said, I was driving down the road and I was praying. I said, Lord Jesus, I lost my wedding ring. I'd like to have it back. If I don't, that's okay. Thank you for saving me last night. I said, amen. Hell, get ready to say amen. If you're ever going to say amen, lick your lips. Here we go. Then she said this. Here we go. Preacher, I changed the name of my dog. I said, what did you call him? Spot. She started crying. Looked at me and said this. No. But after last night, I could have called him and me both spotless.
Wow.
Because I just feel so clean in
side.
Hallelujah.
That's what it does.
Yeah.
And that's not me, that's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He's called the Holy Ghost. He can make that man you work beside with the filthy mouth holy. Make that neighbor you live beside, bound by lust and sex and liquor, holy. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He can change lives of friends and neighbors, but he's got to have one thing. Somebody to flow through. Somebody to work through. And thank God for His power and His presence. Bow your head for prayer. Two questions. Number one, are you sure you're saved? Now, if you're not saved, the Holy Ghost does not live inside of you. No. You have to receive Christ to have Him and to have His power and to have His joy and His fullness and His blessing and His rejoicing. He must indwell you, and that happens when you accept Christ. You're here tonight, and if you say, "Preacher, I'm sick of faking it. I never really accepted Christ. I made a decision once. I'm not sure it's real. Brother Mark, I'm not sure I'm on the way to heaven. Pray for me." I would be honored. I would be honored. And you know I don't point people out. I don't try and drag you down the aisle. You say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me." Let me see your hand right now. Up and right back down. "I'm not sure, but pray for me." Anybody? All right, thank you. Now I'm talking to Christians. You're going from defeat to defeat to defeat to discouragement. The flesh controls you. The world confines you. And the devil laughs at you. You're saved, but you're not a spirit-filled Christian. Your family is going to hell. Your friends are going to hell. You have no power to witness to them, to talk to them. Say, "Preacher, what do I need to do to be a spirit-filled Christian?" Number one, there must be confession of past failure. I'll repeat that. Confession of past failure. The first thing I preach tonight, you have to humble yourself. You got to get on your knees before God and say, "God, in my strength, I've tried. In my strength, I've done my best. In my strength, I've failed." Number one, confession of past failure. Number two, I'm going to use another word. Desperation. Hear your Bible. "I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground." Thus spake he of the Holy Ghost. Two conditions. Number one, thirsty. If you're satisfied living in sin, believer, you're satisfied living on the borderline, you're satisfied not having been victory, you'll never be spirit-filled. Dry ground. Is your soul dry? Are you empty tonight? You say there's something missing. No, no. There's someone that's not in control. That's the problem. Number three. By faith, F-A-I-T-H. Not tongues, not experience. But faith, the third word is appropriation. You pray, you invite Christ to fill you, and my friend, He'll fill your heart and change your life. With our heads bowed tonight, he will say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, but God spoke to my heart tonight. There's some changes I need to make. Some people I need to witness to. Preacher, I need. Don't lie. If you don't need it, don't say it. I need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Preacher, I want you to pray for me as a Christian. I need to be spirit-filled." Can I just see your hand right now? Up and right back down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody? God bless you. Anybody else? "Preacher, God, dial my number tonight. That's what I need. I don't witness. I don't live right in the home. There's all kinds of problems." If you pray for three or four people, include me in that. Anybody else? Last call. Up and right back down. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Father, thank you tonight for meeting with us. And you met with us not just to convict us of our need. Thank God tonight you met with us to show us and give us the power to change. To change our habits, to change our marriage, to change our language, to change our cowardness into boldness and courage tonight. Oh God, I pray tonight some people might get the vision.
Pray tonight you might raise up some spirit-filled believers in this place. In a minute, we're going to stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Listen carefully. If you're not sure you're saved, come and tell somebody down front. They'll open the Bible and show you how you can go to heaven. Now, I'm talking to Christians. You say, God spoke to my heart. What are you going to do? Do. Well, I should come to thee always, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. If God's speaking to your heart tonight about changing your life, and you won't come down an aisle and kneel at an altar, my friend, here's what happened. You'll quench and grieve the Holy Ghost. And how long will it be before he speaks to your heart again? If God's speaking to your heart tonight, believe me, I'm inviting you to come. Come and pray on your own. You want some help? Tell somebody down front. You say, I need some help. They'll help you get you help. I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the Son of God. Tonight you can walk out that door different than you came in, believer. If God's speaking to your heart, I want you to come. Let's stand together. Everybody, stand together. Stand right up. Everybody, stand up. If God's speaking, come on right now. Get out of here. Come on down here. Just give him a place. Come on. Come on. Good. Good. Come on. Come on. Don't play games with God. Get out of there. Come on. Let him change your life. Change your marriage. God bless you. Good, good, good. Who else? God bless you. Amen. If you need some help, see the preacher. Who else tonight? Come on. Just don't be a spectator while folk go to hell. Let God use you. Who else? Come on. Come on. Come on. Who else? Who else? Come on. Come on. Anybody else? People are praying. If you don't need to come, stay there. But pray for folk here. This could change this church. This could change this town. Who else? Come on. Come on. Amen. Who else? Anybody else? Come on. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. Anybody else? Don't quench the Holy Ghost. Thank God he spoke to your heart tonight. Thank God for that. But he spoke to your heart to get a response. Give it to him. Yield to him. Surrender to him. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. We're in no hurry. God's in no hurry. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else need to come? Come ahead. If you're right with God, just stand there and pray. Pray for people. Pray the reality, the power, the glory of this thing might sink into our hearts, into this church. Who else? Amen. Bless you, dear. Bless you. Pastor, God bless you, sir.
Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. Thank you how the Spirit works in our hearts and our lives. We know you're here, Lord God. And we know you're speaking to our hearts. And, Lord, I just pray that you just do a great work in these dear people's hearts that have come tonight. And, Lord, I pray that you just help us to be faithful, help us just to bleed off from us and to others. Lord, be with our church, Lord God, that you would do a great work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.